This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Wednesday. A hump day! If you missed any of this, if you missed part one of history last night or anything like that, iHeart, Spotify, iTunes, go download the podcast. We're going to talk about these communists infiltrating things. I wasn't going to even mention it. I'll get to this peace deal thing here in just a moment. Let me finish up the history. So the Ottomans have now broken. They're just not there anymore. They don't have the forces they need. They don't have the food they need. They're ravaged by disease. Things have gone poorly on Malta. And then things get from bad to worse. Remember, the knights were constantly sending out letters. Help, 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 send help. We need help. Please send help. Send it. Why are you not sending any help? Finally, after all this brutality, and the island could have fallen a month ago, but after they fought like lions, 8,000 troops land, fresh forces, relief troops. The Ottomans recognize that this is a disaster for them if they don't put a stop to these troops immediately. So they gather up what they have and they launch an attack at the 8,000 troops. By now, the Ottomans, like I said, they're not what they were. They don't have the manpower. The Janissaries are basically all dead. They're just in terrible shape. And the 8,000 troops, remember, are fresh. They haven't been part of a siege. They are well-fed. They are well-rested. Their weapons are in good working order. And not only that, they have the high ground. The Ottomans launch an attack at them and do virtually nothing. They shatter against the lines of the 8,000-person relief force. This is it. The Ottomans officially break and they take off towards the boats. They are running towards their boats to escape so fast that the knights come out. Everybody comes out and starts attacking them as they escape. They are attacking them so quickly as they escape and slaughtering them that the Ottoman commander by this time, Pasha is his name, doesn't matter. The Ottoman commander at this time has to rally his troops and fight shoulder to shoulder with them to keep his entire force from being wiped out, trying to buy them time as they get on the boats and sail away. And Malta is saved. It is one of the great, great history tales of all time. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope maybe you learned a little something for it, from it. But yeah, that is the Siege of Malta. What, Chris? Jeez, Chris. Jewish producer Chris just said, when's the next one? I'll tell you what the next one's going to be. The next one is going to be, as I promised, it's going to be the Rhodesian Bush War. This is a conflict that some people know a lot about, but a lot of people don't know anything about. And what, Chris? What? It's not going to be you want me to do the bridge over the River Kwai first? Did I say I would do it next? Did I promise that? Oh, man, I've got to stop making these promises. Okay. Pause. We're going to call an audible. The next one will be the true story of the bridge over the River Kwai. I know you know they made a movie about it. If you're old enough, maybe you already saw the movie about it. That will be the next one. Then it'll be the Rhodesian Bush War. I can't do history all the freaking time, Chris. You know, these things take time, and we have to talk about politics. All right, the next one's the bridge over the River Kwai, the true story. That'll be fascinating. All right, there you go. Now, maybe you're wondering why I haven't brought up this whole alleged peace deal thing. In case you didn't see it, a couple hours ago, Trump's given a press conference. It was fairly uneventful. It was, you know, Antifa is a foreign terrorist organization, that kind of stuff. It's not that it was bad. It just wasn't eventful. Nothing I really cared about that much. And at some point in time, Rubio leans in and whispers in his ear, and it's, hey, we have a peace deal. It looks like we're going to have a peace deal. Okay, so just like it happened before. Remember, this happened before. And I didn't talk about it. You know why I didn't talk about it? Because I don't believe it. I know these are wonderful headlines. I know that I'm supposed to sit here and act as if there is now peace in the Middle East. And all's going to be fine. It lasted like 15 minutes last time. And so will this one if it actually even goes into effect at all. Ancient religious hatred is not something that can be washed away with money or land. Or ancient religious hatred oftentimes simply has to be fought over until somebody wins. Even if it lasts a day, even if it lasts a week, this is how it goes. No, I'm not spending any more time on it because I don't believe it. I don't like to sit here and sell you something and then 2 days later, well, I guess it didn't work. No. All right? No. If that interests you, go find out about it. I don't take any stock in it at all. Remember this about Hamas. Remember this. They are, by any measure, the far weaker military force. Far, far weaker. Israel is a small country, a small military, but not only technologically elite, their training is elite. They're just really, really good at what they do. Very small. You know, they're not going to take on Russia or something like that. Very, very small country, but super elite. Hamas doesn't have that. Hamas launched a 1,000-person raid. Well, they butchered 1,000 people in a raid against a military superior power. That is a bonkers thing to do. That we're not even talking about the morality of it. Tribal peoples, borderland peoples, have known throughout history, you can't take it that far. Yeah, you can raid this settlement, and you can carry off this girl, and you can kill this person, and you can do these things. You can't do a mass rape and slaughter event, because if you do that, then the far superior military power is going to be angry enough to take it seriously enough, and they're going to come wipe you out. And yet, Hamas did it anyway. That's the kind of insanity and hatred we're talking about here. Nah, not worth my time. Jesse, reading Edge of Honor by Brad Thor, and I came across the following statement. Quote, as the character of America's politicians declined, so too did the character of its people. They were linked. That's true. Leadership does matter a lot. And we should keep in mind, though, that love of country and character, things like that, values, manners, these things are taught. You have to learn them. And it's not only from your parents, although that is the ultimate source. And that's, you know, your best source for that. Love of country and a sense of duty and things like that, it's not just taught by your parents. It's ideally, it's reinforced in school, in your church on Sunday. When you go off to a higher institution, it is taught there. You are taught, you know, back in the day, you would be taught at universities that, yes, there's always a level of snobbery that comes with that. Oh, we're better than the peasants who didn't go to college. But you would be taught that you will be a leader and that you have obligations that come with being a leader. You have to take care of the country. You have to take care of a business. You have to take care of the people. You have an obligation as somebody who has a higher level of education and or more money. It comes with duty. It comes with that. That's not taught at all by our institutions now. Our institutions, they teach these vile little monsters that come through there to be more educated, vile little monsters. America sucks. It sucks. This place is terrible. White supremacy. Ah! And that has bled down. Leadership does matter. The leadership in the Democrat Party, the elites in the media, in Hollywood, at universities, they could turn down the temperature in this country if they wanted. They don't want. That's why we are where we are. Corporate America participates in this now too, remember. And this is why we have to make buying decisions with our money that follow our moral decisions. Putting your money where your morals are should be an all-the-time thing. By the way, I got this. You want to listen to this? Jesse, previously I was with a different mobile phone company, thinking I was doing great, said it was a patriotic mobile phone company. Finally, after years of you telling me to go switch, I checked out PureTalk's prices and the switchover process. Wow, what a price difference. I keep telling you, PureTalk saves you money. I called them on the phone. They said, hello. I said, Jesse Kelly. And the very friendly American lady said, quote, oh, we love Jesse Kelly. And the rest of my experience was exactly as you describe. Thank you for advocating Pure Talk. Says his name is Bob, says I can say his name, and he requests the bar. Switch to Pure Talk. Save yourself money and feel good about where you spend it. Dial #250 and just say Jesse Kelly. #250, say Jesse Kelly. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show, on air and online at jessekellyshow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Wednesday. Remember, if you miss any part of the show, you can download it. iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. Get your Ask Dr. Jesse questions in for tomorrow. Jesse@jessekellyshow.com. They're so upset that something's being done about the FBI.
You have senators saying that they were wiretapped, which was just a fantasy. That's not what happened. What this was Jack Smith trying to figure out who Donald Trump was calling when he was trying to delay the certification. This is according to my sources, of the 2020 election. He was talking to members of Congress, and it wasn't just, he has multiple cell phones. He goes through intermediaries, and there was a reference to this in the Smith report. He talks about Trump calling members of Congress, and he also talks about consulting with Public Integrity about the proper way to investigate that and how to obtain documents. So this is perfectly legitimate. These senators were not targeted. They were not under investigation. They were essentially witnesses in this investigation, but they've made it into this fake scandal, and now it's having real-world repercussions because, as you said, Kash Patel just announced not long ago that he's firing FBI agents and disbanding a corruption squad. This is not the first corruption squad they disbanded, by the way. They had previously disbanded one.
Yeah, he let go of the whole team. Oops. That's a good start. Now they have to go to prison, but that's a good start. Couple other housekeeping items. I'm sure you saw earlier, in case you didn't, once again, the Senate Democrats, they've voted not to reopen the government, which is wonderful, wonderful news. I couldn't be more excited. They voted not to reopen the government. Trump, once again, said, hey, you need to open up the government or all these firings are going to be permanent. We're furloughing half the IRS. We're going to furlough half the IRS. It's going to be permanent. At some point in time, we have to stop threatening and we have to start doing. We have to stop saying this is coming, this is coming, this is coming. And we have to say it's here. Welcome to the pain. I am hopeful that maybe tomorrow that happens, maybe Monday, but without that, without some level of pain, what incentive do they have to make it stop? Not much. Chris Coons went on CNN and he said this about Pam Bondi and her testimony yesterday.
Well, I was really struck, Casey, by how aggressive, combative that Attorney General Bondi was today.
I was struck by how aggressive and combative she was. You know what makes me angry about that? What makes me angry about that is dorks like Chris Coons have gotten to enjoy an entire career of being nasty to every single Republican that comes before them. And so now when Republicans stand up for themselves, they're just shocked. They're just taken aback. Whoa, what's she doing? Listen, communists, you know a lot of this comes back to Brett Kavanaugh. They really didn't know. I really don't think they knew how big of a deal, how much of a sea change the Brett Kavanaugh hearings were. Remember those? Look, I don't even like Brett Kavanaugh. He's way too milquetoast for me. But the idea of losing the Supreme Court, losing control of the Supreme Court, was such a big deal for the communists. They decided to go all in ways we'd never seen before. And they've done horrible things, horrible, horrible things to Clarence Thomas and others. But they decided they had to go all in on Brett Kavanaugh, up to the point they brought that unbelievable liar. Remember Christine Blasey Ford, who was afraid to fly but somehow flew everywhere, and she was assaulted by Kavanaugh, but there was never any proof she ever even met Brett Kavanaugh. They even brought up a completely fake person and made up a fake story. Senate Democrats in front of the entire United States of America took this milquetoast dork and accused him of being an alcoholic gang rapist in front of the country. And they thought they could do that and nothing would ever change. Brett Kavanaugh changed things in the minds of a lot of people. In fact, it wasn't just elected Republicans who still have a long way to go. Normal people out there watched the way these animals conducted themselves, and they were mortified, absolutely mortified that anybody could be that sick and evil. This keeps happening to the communists in America. They keep turning the dial up on everything to 11 because they don't know any other way. And then what happens is you wake the other side up to just how sick and evil you are, and they change how they deal with you. You can't act any way you want without it ever coming back to you. And they're always shocked when it comes back on them. And like I said, it makes me mad because for a long time, they could get away with it. For a long time, we were infected with Mitt Romney, James Lankford, eunuch politics, where we never did anything back, and it didn't get us anywhere. All right. We are going to talk to Selena Zito next. Why? She went down into a mine, deep into a mine. And I love mines, and I love miners. I think the whole industry is fascinating. I nerd out on it. I know that's the dorkiest thing you've ever heard, but it is critical to everything and just the whole process of pulling things out of the ground. I want to know. I want to know what she ate. I want to know everything, and I'm going to ask her about it in a moment. Let me ask you, do you have daily pain? Chronic pain that affects your life, that maybe holds you back from doing things you used to do? Did you used to play a sport you don't do anymore because it hurts? Go for a walk, standing up, sitting down. Do you wake up in pain? Go to bed in pain? It's life sucking. Why don't you give Relief Factor a shot? I'm not asking you for a lifetime commitment. I'm asking you to give it a shot. There is a chance your pain can be completely removed from your life. 3 weeks of it is $19.95. It's drug-free. It's a supplement. Take it every day for 3 weeks and tell me how you feel. 1-800-4-RELIEF or relieffactor.com. We'll be back.
He doesn't care if you believe him, but he's right. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Wednesday, a hump day, and it's always a fantastic day when we get to talk about mining. I I have always had a fascination with it since I was a child. You remember I grew up right next to West Virginia. I grew up in Ohio, so we'd always go down to West Virginia and check things out down there. So I just love it. I don't know what, pulling things out of the ground and the people who go into the ground, the whole endeavor fascinates me endlessly, and I think it's unbelievably cool. And Selena Zito wrote a really cool story about them for the Washington Post. Selena, tell me about mining.
Oh my gosh, Jesse, it was the coolest thing ever.
Tell me.
So you get to the mine, they give you like this really intense training, and then you get all this equipment.
Hold on, pause. What are you training in? What are you doing?
Oh, learning all about safety. I mean, the amount of measures that they put in place so that you are safe in that mine. We're going 1,200 feet down, right?
Whew.
The amount of safety measures that they put in place every couple of feet so that no miner is isolated, not found. There's tracking systems. There's AI. There's breathable apparatus, hard hats. I mean, it is like state-of-the-art, like spaceman astronaut stuff. So it's pretty cool. And I got to put my steel-toed boots and fire-retardant overalls on. But then you get into this freight elevator, sort of like the kind you see if you get on the wrong elevator at the hospital. You know, it's like oversized and opens up both sides. And it's pristine inside. And you're like, what? It's just like all steel and shiny. And you go down. It takes 2 minutes to go down 1,200 feet.
2 minutes?
Two minutes. Okay. And you get down there, and there's a double set of doors to go through, and that's to keep everything safe in case there's something happens.
Hold on, pause. Why? How's that keep anything safe?
Well, because one can shut if you need to block off bad air or fire in the mine.
All right.
And so then you get on this thing. It's called the Man Trip, and it basically looks like the tram car at the boardwalk. And you go. We went three counties deep. We crossed three counties. The last coal mine we went into, we crossed from into West Virginia in Ohio. But this one, we stayed into Pennsylvania, and we went to the long wall. The long wall is this crazy machine that cuts out in layers, like big jaws of 3 miles long and 2,000 feet wide, and just cuts into the coal seam. That coal is then goes onto a conveyor belt, and from that long wall down the coal mine, up into the distribution center, onto a conveyor belt, onto a train or a tugboat, and out to coal-fired power plant. One piece of coal only takes 7 to 10 hours to get from the wall to your house. Isn't that crazy? Seven to 10 hours. It's crazy.
Okay. All right. So help me understand the physical labor they're doing down there. Is it still picks and things like that? What do they do? What are the men doing down there?
It's all with machines. I mean, they might have to move something with a shovel, but there's no picks and there's no donkeys. And there's a lot of technology. I mean, it's hard work, right? It is definitely hard and physical work, but it's not what what you saw 100 years ago. They're still using shovels. They still use some clawing devices to get at the coal seam and to explore where to go next. Because once one long wall is exhausted, then you make a tunnel to go to the next long wall. It's fascinating. And what's really interesting is on the drive there, you don't realize you're going through these beautiful rolling hills. And you and I basically grew up in the same region, right? These beautiful rolling hills and these farms and their bucolic scenes. And under their feet, this mining is happening. And coal mining is really, really important, not just because it's the most stable, right? That and natural gas, those and nuclear. Those are the most stable, right, and energy output in our country. Solar and wind cannot do it. They're not stable. And you need stability so that the grid is working. However, they're also not just important to making steel, making concrete, making defense products, but they're also very, very stable in the development of AI. While many people in my profession believe their jobs are going to be gone, a lot of white-collar people believe their jobs are going to be gone because of AI, I will tell you this, the jobs for AI come from natural gas, from coal, from nuclear, because AI data power centers need that energy.
Speaking with Selena Zito, wrote a fascinating piece for the WAPO about mines and mining. Okay, Selena, I have a couple really nerdy questions, and I know you're going to make fun of me, but I don't care.
No, not.
What was the temperature like? Is it hot? Is it cold?
Oh, it's a really nice, like a comfortable 65 degrees. And okay. The air is cleaner than the air up above you. Yeah, the filtering systems are insane down there. I remember the last time I went down the mine, it was at like a height of COVID. And by the way, the woman I went down with was pregnant. But because of the air filtering systems there, and this is when everyone was like mask crazy, we didn't have to wear the masks.
I didn't know let women in.
Okay. Oh, yeah. It's about, I think it was 17% of the population. And here's what's the other thing that's really interesting. By the way, I texted you a gift link to the story so that all your listeners can, if you want to tweet it, all your listeners can read it and they can see like these great photos, right, in the story. But one of the things that is also, you know, kind of interesting down there in the mine is I'm talking to these guys, like three of the guys that are down there like had PhDs. And I'm like, what are you doing down here? And they're like, yeah, we love this. We did these as like summer jobs, and we decided we didn't want to work in an office. Like, we love this. And so you had a wide variety of educational experiences down there. There are kids that walk out of high school and start making $104,000 a year, and with overtime, they can make upwards of $200,000 a year. The same went for people with bachelor's degrees and PhDs. And there, you know, and if you wanted to go to school, they'll pay for you to go to school. And it's just, it's a really great industry. It's a very, very safe industry, much different than what people think it is. And their focus on safety is just something to be seen.
See, this is why I've been telling people we can start sending the children back down into the mines to work as well. And I guess with the filtration system, you don't have any black lung problems, which I was going to ask about. Selena, do they eat down there?
Yeah, there's little rooms that they can go into, like little conference rooms, and eat.
It down underground, there's conference rooms?
That's so cool. Yes.
Did you eat down there?
No. No, I was like you, Jesse, I was all in, like, let's do this and let's do that. And I, God bless Dave McCormick for going along with my, you know, fits of fancy that I wanted to do this. But, you know, he was really curious about it. And it was just an outstanding experience. I hope people read the story. I sent you the gift link. It's and the photos, right? Aren't the photos amazing?
You know what I think we'll do? I think we're going to put that link up on the show's Twitter page. That way people can go to the show. Okay, so it should be up. Chris and Corey are going to have it up in 30 seconds, okay? We're going to have the show, the gift link up at Jesse Kelly Show on Twitter, and then you can go look up all the pictures and stuff like that. Selena, I'm out of time. I'm glad you don't have black lung. Thank you for coming on. It's Selena Zito. Her story's in the Washington Post. Thank you so much. I was worried, Chris. I was worried. But I'll tell you this, safe or not safe, when I go down to the mines, I'm going to find some black coal and I have to spread it all over my face for when I come up. What, Chris? People have to know I was down in the mines and I'm not cleaning it off. I'm going to go home. I'm going to go to dinner and I'll be like, yeah, I was down in the mines. What? I'm going to. Can you imagine using a Byrna launcher down in the mines? How brutal it will be. You know that these Byrna launchers, not only are they legal in all 50 states, no permit needed, you know that it can incapacitate an attacker for up to 40 minutes, 4-0. I hope you don't think just because it's not lethal that it's pleasant. These pepper balls or tear gas balls are brutal. And remember that story I read last night? Just showing it can save the life of you, the person you love the most, that daughter you sent off to college. Get a Byrna launcher, legal everywhere. Put it in your purse, put it in your pocket. They have great holsters if you like to carry on your belt, which is, that's what I do with mine. I like a holster. BYRNA, Byrna.com. Don't hope for the best. As the saying goes, hope is not a plan. Have a plan for a bad man coming at you. Byrna.com. All right? All right. Final segment. Next.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show. I just learned so much about mining. I'm practically a miner now. That was amazing. Anyway, remember, tomorrow's Ask Dr. Jesse Thursday. Get your questions emailed in now to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Hey, Jesse, my name is Dave. By your definition, I'm an evil commie. I'm evil commie scum. We have nothing in common politically. In fact, I find some of your views miles off the reservation. I mostly listen for the unintentional comedy. This is not why I'm writing, though. I find your history segments highly engaging and fascinating. I'll admit I've learned quite a bit. Ha! How about that? If you ever decide to abandon political propaganda and do podcasts exclusively about history, I will become a cheering fan. I know that's not happening, but a street-level commie dirtbag can dream. Have a good one. Keep the fantastic history lessons coming. How about that, Chris? Yeah, dude, you're welcome to listen anytime, you commie dirtbag. And thank you for the compliment. I hope you also enjoyed the Siege of Malta. Remember, I did part two tonight. If you missed part two, the final part, or part one from last night, podcast, it's free. You can fast forward through all the political stuff if you're commie street scum and you just want some history. Just go to iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. It's all free. All right? All right. Ooh, remember this? Remember I was talking about the state of our police forces, because there's a headline, NYPD cops plan to vote with their feet if Mamdani wins. You know, I mean, Bill de Blasio ran out enough of them, a lot of them. And now if this guy wins, the last of the good ones are going to bail. And I was talking about how, because of this, and because they've filled up these police departments in the big cities with scumbags, you can't trust big city police departments anymore. A bunch of dirtballs. I got this email. Bronco, I was listening to your Monday show where you discussed the issue with police in blue cities. I retired from a major South Texas police department some years back and know for a fact it was very often that some issues in an applicant's personal history are swept under the carpet so they can be hired. At the time I retired, the chief would review a summary of each applicant who passed or were pushed through all the steps. We were told to remove any hint of derogatory information from these summaries. I can only surmise that this way the chief could have plausible deniability when he hired some of these dirtballs. In addition, the chief could boast to the city manager that they had 70 cadets in each academy class. They usually graduated between 40 and 50, and the others were fired or quit before the training was complete. In years before, when the hiring rules were strictly enforced, the average size cadet class was about 25. So they changed and will change the hiring rules to make it less stringent. And even then, there's a lot of discretion exercised to allow applicants to proceed when the rule was cut and dry that they should not. They always agonized over racial and gender compositions of these classes. Of course, like I said, diversity kills everything. Most of the upper management there was only concerned with achieving higher rank, and thus the rot runs deep. When we did have some stand-up guys in the upper ranks, they were kept far away from hiring, and when we did get a sergeant or lieutenant who would push back, they were transferred very quickly. Sorry for the long email, Bronco. Your show is amazingly entertaining. Thanks to Jewish producer Chris. I listen every single day. Says I can say his name, and his name is Chris. It's just like we talked about a lot, and thank you for that. These emails, they show us the inside baseball stuff that we talk about all the time. The rot runs deep. It's really bad. These big city police departments are not to be trusted. Sorry, those days are gone now. But we don't want it to be that way because we have such a level of respect, and we should, for people who strap it on and risk their lives every day for us. But that's not necessarily the case in big cities anymore because of years of rot. It's terrible, man. It's terrible. Look, it's rotting like the dollar's rotting. You see the dollar lost 10% of its value already this year? Inflation has not gone away. How much gold do you have? Do you have any? I know you're not made of money, but do you have any? A coin or two? If any? I hope you have something. Something concrete that can't be destroyed by these dirtball politicians and their insane spending ways. Please get something to protect yourself. And while you're calling Goldco, because they'll handle this for you, protect your retirement. Don't wake up tomorrow to a popped bubble and be wiped out. Don't do that. Get a hold of Goldco. 855-817-GOLD, or you can go to jessielikesgold.com. Let Goldco take care of you. They will take care of you. You can trust them. I trusted them. All right? All right.
And now...
here's a headline.
By, go, you know the thing.
Headlines we didn't get to.
Jaguar sales continue to plummet. Production to resume following a shutdown. I almost forgot that Jaguar absolutely lit their entire brand on fire, paying for a Super Bowl ad that didn't feature a single Jaguar. It was just a bunch of gay tranny freaks in dresses and things like that through the commercial. No Jaguar owner would ever buy that. But this is what happens when you hire communists. They worm their way through your company and they eat it from the inside out. Texas AG Ken Paxton announces undercover operations into Antifa. Well, they'll never see that coming. Ecuador says attack on president was an assassination attempt. An assassination attempt in Latin America? No. IRS will issue furloughs as government shutdown enters second week. Yes. More, more, more. We have Ask Dr. Jesse Thursday tomorrow. That's all.
This is an iHeart podcast.